From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Have you ever thought about adopting a child? Maybe you were adopted. Maybe you've got questions about adoption. Oh, my friend, you've come to the right place. We've got some answers for you today. This week, Governor Jay Inslee signed a bill into law that gives people who were adopted access to copies of their birth certificates. Before now, they had to go get a special court order. In more than half of the families in Washington state, someone in their extended family is either an adoptive parent or an adoptee or the birth parent of an adoptive child. Some options are carried out between private parties. Others use public or private agencies. And often an adoption lawyer helps facilitate the process. Mark Demaray is one of them. He's also former president of the American Academy of Adoption Attorneys. He's a founding member of the Washington Adoption Council. And Mark Demaray is the father of two adopted children. How many adoptions have you worked on in your life, Mark?
In the last 30 years, I've done somewhere around 5,000 that I've helped with.
Did you represent yourself in your own adoptions of your own children?
I did not. I had someone in my firm help.
Why do you need a lawyer to adopt someone?
Well, when we do an adoption, it establishes a legal relationship between the families, the child and the adoptive parents. We also have to terminate the rights of birth parents to make sure that a child generally has two parents, although that's not always true in our state. But and the court process is really there to accomplish all of that. So it takes a lawyer. You don't have to use a lawyer. Most people do. But when you go to court, you have to make sure all of those legal relationships are properly established.
So did you work with a lawyer on your adoptions? I guess this was more than 20 years ago.
Yes, right? It was. I did, yeah.
And had you done adoption law before that?
I had, yes. I had done a number of adoptions, and I had, you know, some guidance, of course, was given by me to the one that helped us as well.
And how did it go? How was the process?
The process is fine. I mean, it worked. Both of our adoptions were really private adoptions, which is no agency involved. The birth parents placed directly with us based on the court orders and directives to allow that to happen.
How much did it cost you, and how much does it cost today?
Well, it really varies. It depends on the type of adoption. If you adopt a child from the state system, it's completely subsidized by the state, so actually they pay you. There's, you know, some 400,000 kids in foster care in our country. This is National Foster Care Month, by the way, as proclaimed by the President of the United States. And so that's completely subsidized. With agency adoptions, it really varies somewhere between $15,000 and $30,000. It gets kind of pricey. With private placement adoptions, it really varies based on the needs of the parties involved and what's involved. So it can be as little as $4,000 or $5,000 and certainly up to $15,000 or $20,000 from there.
So some adoptions are entirely subsidized. Some you're going to use an attorney, so that's going to be an expense. Are there other expenses involved in an adoption?
Yes, there can be many expenses involved. There's a pre-certification process to make sure you're able to provide a good, safe, loving home for a child as an adoptive parent. We commonly call that a home study process. There's some cost to that. So the court will sometimes allow payment of expenses for birth parents to help with living expenses when she's unable to work during her pregnancy and things like that. There's and court costs, legal costs, those kind of things. We have a part of the change in the tax laws in D.C. with the so-called fiscal cliff issues. They extended the adoption tax credit bill, so we get a federal tax credit for up to almost $13,000 in expenses. Comes back dollar for dollar off the tax you owe, so it's a good benefit from the feds.
Maybe you've got a question about adoption. Mark Demaray is with us to answer them. He's an adoption lawyer and has been so for many, many years. Let's go to Becky, who's with us today in Tacoma, to get a question in. Becky, what's your question?
Hi. We adopted our daughter about, 20 years ago. And her bio mom lied about her alcohol use during pregnancy. And it was only when my daughter was 17 that we figured out that she had fetal alcohol effect and has permanent disability because of that. And I'm wondering, is there any recourse for my daughter, to benefit my daughter, not to me?
Well, did you adopt through the state system? Was she in the foster care system?
She was 20 minutes old when we held her. Okay. It was a private adoption.
Okay. Well, if you adopt through the state, there's it's a federally and state subsidized program called Adoption Support, where they give some benefits to the child. But in a private adoption, generally, there's not much available there for additional resources and such.
Well, kind of the question she's also asking, what if the child is somehow misrepresented to you in terms of their health or the health of the mother?
I don't suppose this. Her back or anything. Yeah. I just would have been able to help her when she was a baby as opposed to when she was a teenager.
Yeah, so is there any penalty if a bio mom lies or misrepresents that may rebound to the detriment of the child or the adoptive parents?
That can be a difficult issue. I mean, part of the people that you work with when an adoption is done, the attorney or the agency, part of their duty is to try and help gather as much information as is possible. So we get medical records, voluntarily completed background for social medical history, that kind of thing. But it can be difficult with lifestyle issues that are not known or not disclosed. It's a difficult thing to do there. I don't think adoption or not, I'm not sure there's a recourse of a child against the parent.
Yeah. Hey, Becky, thanks a lot for your phone call. Let's hear about the other side of the equation. Nicole Sujung Callahan tells the story of her adoption in the Slate magazine story called What to Expect When You're Adopted. We have a link to that at kuow.org. She was placed up for adoption when she was 2 months old. She came to Seattle with Korean immigrant parents, and it was what's called a closed adoption. She was to have absolutely no contact with her birth parents. But that changed. You went for many, many years, Nicole, not at all interested in contacting your birth parents. Why was that, and how did that change?
I wouldn't say I had no interest. I was growing up in Oregon after being born and adopted in Seattle. And, you know, because it was a closed adoption, I just didn't have a lot of information or guidance. I wouldn't have known how to go about a search at that point. And my adoptive parents always told me that I should probably wait until I was an adult. So it wasn't something I could have even considered before turning 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was, you know, I was in college. I was across the country. And again, it just didn't seem like the best practical time to be searching.
But then something happened, and then you really did want to get contact with your birth parents.
Right. Well, I'd always been curious, but it sort of all came to a head when I got pregnant with my first child in my late 20s. I sort of was thinking about the kind of family tree that she would have, that she'd inherit from me and her father. And I realized I just didn't have a lot of information. I didn't have family medical history. I didn't know anything about my birth family. So I thought, for her sake and for mine, I sort of wanted to be able to, for both of us to have more than that.
Now, it was a closed adoption, so clearly at the time that your birth parents gave you up for adoption, they determined that they did not want to be in touch with you. You must have known that when you decided that you wanted to reach them. What were you thinking as you were thinking about that? Here they said that they didn't want you to contact them, and you decided you wanted to anyway.
Well, you know, my adoption took place 32 years ago, and so they never actually had a chance. I'm not sure that anyone really phrased it to them in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
I think both my birth parents and my adoptive parents agreed to a closed adoption, but that was also kind of the default over 30 years ago.
Sure.
And my birth mother actually sent a letter to my adoptive parents when I was in grade school, although I didn't learn about it for many years. So she had actually originally tried to make contact with me when I was still a child. And so I knew about that by the time I searched for them. I knew that on her part, at least, there was some curiosity. And also at the time that I was searching, Washington had a confidential intermediary system in place. So I was going through a third party, and I knew that my birth parents could choose if they wanted to not to have contact with me or to tell the intermediary they didn't want to release information. But I felt a lot of trepidation about it still. I felt a little bit of guilt. I sort of wondered if I was going to be imposing on them terribly. So these were probably other factors in kind of why I didn't search sooner.
But then you did search, and what kind of response did you get back from them when you said you wanted to meet them?
Well, actually, I didn't start out by saying I wanted to meet them. Again,
okay.
I thought that would have been too much pressure for them. I sent a letter through my intermediary. I introduced myself. And I told them, you know, I had a few questions. I asked them to fill out a medical history because that, again, was very important to me since I was pregnant. And then I sort of told them I would respect their wishes in terms of contact or meeting. And I wanted to kind of protect my own interests as well. I didn't know, honestly, how I felt about an in-person reunion, so I sort of left the door open. And our relationship has sort of evolved based on what we've all been comfortable with. And given there's a country between us, I live outside of D.C. now, and my birth family's on the West Coast. So it certainly limited our ability to meet and kind of get to know one another.
Have you met and gotten to know one another?
Yes, I've actually become very close to my sister, Cindy, who lives in Portland. I've met and then becoming close to my father, who's still in Seattle. And we're just kind of beginning to see what these relationships, you know, will be like. But I'm certainly... I mean, I've been welcomed with open arms. I couldn't have asked for more generous or gracious reception. So I think it's been a very positive experience for all of us. Not that it hasn't been difficult at times and emotional, but overall, I'm very glad that I searched.
And there's much more about this in Nicole Sujung Callahan's story in Slate magazine called What to Expect When You're Adopted. And you can find a link to that at kuow.org. Before we let you go, Nicole, this week, Governor Jay Inslee here in Washington signed into law a bill that gives people who were adopted access to copies of their birth certificates. You think that's a good idea?
Just speaking from my own personal standpoint, I do think it's a good thing for adoptees to have access to their personal history and especially to have a way to ask questions, you know, to have questions asked that they haven't had a chance to ask before. I think particularly in matters of health and medical history, it could be crucial for them to sort of have access to that information. But I would say that even when you do a search, even if there is a reunion, there is going to be a lot you don't find out. There's still a lot of questions you won't get answered. That's just kind of life as an adoptee. So,
Nicole, thanks a lot for talking to us today. I really appreciate it. Let's continue by going right back to the phones. If you just tuned in, we're talking about questions about adoption. Mark Demaree is with us. He's an adoption attorney, also former president of the American Academy of Adoption Attorneys. Chris is on the line in Issaquah. Chris, what's your question?
Hi. I just wanted to know about the process of finding your biological parents. I never really wanted to find my biological parents while my parents were still alive, but very recently I lost my mother, and a decade ago I lost my father, and I was hoping to find out what the process was, and what if someone doesn't want to be found? What if my biological father, say, doesn't want to be found? I'd still like to know some of the medical records.
Sure.
That they have. And I have a lot of medical issues.
Let's hear what Mark can tell you about that.
Well, there's a number of ways to go about it. As Nicole just indicated, Washington has long had a law that allows a so-called confidential intermediary to get access to files and try and locate birth parents or other relatives lost through the adoption process. And as she also indicated, it's a mutual consent standard in our state where they, even if they're found, they have to agree to establish some kind of contact and give more information. But that's done at many different levels. Sometimes they want to meet. Other times they just exchange information, as Nicole indicated she started to do. The bill that Governor Inslee just signed, which will take effect at the end of June 2014 and needs some more implementation, that would allow access to your original birth certificate, which would name at least your birth mother. And from there, people potentially could search on their own. And there's still some hesitation about that. We were one of the few states that really was one of the leaders in developing the so-called confidential intermediary system to allow access to records in that form. You can also go to the court and get non-identifying information, which often includes a lot of health background and other information now, even without finding birth parents. Whatever is in the court file and records is available.
Hey, Chris, will you put up for adoption in Washington State?
I was put up privately for adoption. I'm lucky in that I have the court records and all the adoption papers that my mother kept as I've been going through the house.
I hope that helps out. Thanks very much for your phone call. What about if it was an adoption that didn't take place in our state? Does this birth certificate law apply? And also, you mentioned the intermediary who will work with you to help find the parents and contact them and see if they want to get in touch. Will that cross state lines too?
Not necessarily. It really depends on if you were born here, the birth certificate law would apply. It would allow you access to that original. If the adoption was not done here, other states have different laws regarding records and who has access. Oregon, you know, about 10 years ago, passed the so-called open records law and allowed access to birth certificates for adoptees as well.
Lots more to talk about. We'll have to have you back, Mark Demaree. We appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ross.
Adoption attorney Mark Demaree, former president of the American Academy of Adoption Lawyers. Our program is produced by David Hyde with Arwen Nix, production help from Hannah Byrne and Cameron Drews, Andy Hurst and Amber Cortez. Jack Walters is our engineer. I'm Ross Reynolds.